I was thinking about a phrase that's in a song that we have in our book, and I guess I would attempt to title our little thought, Your Constitution. In the song number 284, The Virtue of Faith, in the second line of the fourth verse, it says, Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. So, the faith that I want us to think about is, many times we have faith for, or we talk about having faith for our physical needs in our bodies and things that may cause us distress or discomfort or those kind of things. But I'm thinking more about our faith as it comes to our relationship with the Lord and our understanding of God's expectations out of us. And I'm thinking about our faith when it comes to convictions and why we function the way we do. We have a constitution, and by now our constitution is pretty famous around the world. There's other countries that probably would like to have the renown of a constitution like we have had for our United States. And with that being said, we also recognize that our constitution is constantly under attack.
Yes. That's
there
true.
Are people that want to interpret it, I feel like, many times differently than what our forefathers intended for it to mean. And we have a group of people that identify themselves as constitutionalists in our current age. So one of the definitions of the word constitution is the established form of government in a state, kingdom, or country, a system of fundamental rules, principles, and ordinances for the government of a state or a nation. In free states, the Constitution is a paramount to the statutes or laws enacted by the legislature, limiting and controlling its power. In the United States, the legislature is created and its powers designated by the Constitution. So, I'd like to even bring it down even simpler than that. The Constitution is the thing that is the overall guideline of any laws that might be passed. If you want to make a law that says don't spit on the sidewalk, then you ought to have the Constitution ought to support that. In other words, the legislature can't make a law that violates the Constitution. You shouldn't make a law that would cause someone to be fundamentally opposed to the Constitution. And that's one of the things that the constitutionalists are constantly concerned about, is laws that are passed, because things change and there's new laws that need to be written. But the one of the things they're concerned about in our nation is laws that could get passed that would undermine what the Constitution meant. So for us, I said my thought was about our Constitution, or my Constitution, and what Constitution do we live by? You know, since we're citizens of the United States, I think that we ought to live by the Constitution of our nation. But more than that, what kind of constitution do I live by spiritually? It's pretty easy for us to maybe be impacted by our surroundings and maybe make some changes in our lives because of things that come into our path. I'm thinking about just the change of season, and some of you ladies will probably relate to this. My wife has made comments about, you know, she has something she calls spring colors and fall colors for her clothes, and maybe a purse or something like that she would wear or use with her clothes, and you know, to me it's just clothes. You know, I'm not if you want to wear a brown shirt in the summertime or in the spring, it's I don't think about it. All I think about is it's a shirt. And to my wife, it might be the wrong color for spring, you see. So I don't live, my constitution doesn't change colors with seasons. But I'm impacted by that. And as many of you know, if we go to something together, many times she makes an effort that we look somewhat in the same color scheme. You know, if she's wearing something that has purple in it, then more than likely I won't be having a green shirt on. And that's just the way my wife does it. So I'm impacted by that. Yes. But there, I have an underlying constitution. If my wife gives me something to put on that violates that constitution, then I have a constitution I should live by. In the same way, if I have an expectation out of her, she has to have a constitution that's hers. So I hope that illustration helps define what I'm talking about here. In Acts, this song that we referred to says, "Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to thee." You know, there are things that go on around us, and it makes us wonder sometimes what kind of constitution another person is living by. Is it a constitution that has a guiding influence in their life, or is it just, do they not even have a constitution? You know, I think one of the things that has given our nation stability down through the years since it has been adopted or accepted and approved and all of that is the stability the Constitution provides for our nation. Amen. And we will have more stability in our life if we have a constitution, a godly constitution to live by. Because we're always going to run into someone, some things, or an environment that don't always guide us in the right direction. So, regarding not what I may see, don't allow the circumstances that we find ourselves in to lead us down a path that violates our faith, our constitution, the thing that we're endeavoring to live by. In Acts, the second chapter and the 46th verse, this is after the message by Peter on the day of Pentecost when so many people asked the question, "Brother, what shall we do?" And they were instructed to repent and be baptized. So down towards the end of that chapter, it says, "And they," talking about the ones that had repented and been born into the kingdom of God, "and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and the breaking of bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." So there was a, they had a constitution, they had a singleness and a purpose of heart. The opposite of having a constitution is being a chameleon. And a chameleon, we know, is has a reputation, or it's famous for its ability to blend in with its surroundings. You know, if it's on a brown stick, it turns a shade of brown. And if it's on a green leaf, it turns a shade of green. And I don't know all the colors that it can turn, but I know that if we don't have a constitution, that my constitution, the one that I should have as a responsibility and integrity to God, then the only alternative is to have, is to be a chameleon. And in our nation, if we didn't have a constitution, you think about, you think about the impact that society has had on our constitution and is having, and we feel like sometimes our constitution is being chipped and whittled away, but it's still there. You know, there may come a time that our nation wants to just throw it out, and instead of having a constitution to live by and govern ourselves by, they may want to throw it out, and we're just going to live by what feels good or what the current trend is. And if we're not careful, we can do that spiritually too.
That's true.
Instead of having a personal constitution that we live by, we begin to look like a chameleon in that when we're around certain people, we do certain things. And we go other places, we do other things. And there's no consistency or no constant in our lives. So may the Lord help us to have a real constitution. Another definition of constitution is a state of being, the form of being or peculiar structure and connection of parts that makes or characterizes a system or body. So hence, this is our definition I'm reading here. Hence, the particular frame or temperament of the human body is called its constitution. It's not so familiar now, but a generation or two ago, you might hear of someone making a comment about another person, and they might say they have a feeble constitution or a robust constitution. And what they're talking about is the seemingly underlying physical condition. It's one thing to have a runny nose, but overall be strong. And it's another thing for someone to maybe be really, really thin and not have much physical strength. That's a underlying constitution about the physical body. So I want us to look now at a passage of Scripture, several verses in Galatians, the sixth chapter. We're going to begin reading at the first verse because I feel like that's probably the best place to start, kind of get the tense of the passage of Scripture. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted."
Oh, Lord, help us.
So here we have a setting where someone that apparently had a constitution that they lived by, and yet something caused them to fail their constitution. Something that says they were overtaken in a fault. I don't know how serious it was. Sometimes that might be translated as sin, and other times it may not be. It may be just a human mistake. It might be a weakness of some form. But he says here he's overtaken in a fault, and the instruction he gives is, ye which are spiritual, the ones that have a good constitution and have a good health, a sense of health about them spiritually, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. All of us are going to have our constitution tested. All of us are going to have our constitution it's going to be put on the line, and there's going to be things that we come up against that potentially could cause us to be overtaken in. And we look back and say, we ask ourselves, why did I do that? My wife does real well at getting me some chocolate at specific times of the year. It's like the day after Halloween candy is no longer in vogue, and after Easter candy is no longer, you know, those special Easter-shaped chocolates and stuff like that. She can go in and pick those up at a discount. So that's when I get loaded up a lot of times with some chocolate to eat. because I don't have just chocolate every day, if she gives me a sack with a bunch of chocolate in it, I find myself eating more chocolate than I ought to. You know, my constitution says that I shouldn't eat so much chocolate at one time. And after you eat a bunch of chocolate, sometimes you ask yourself, why did I do that? You know, if you eat 12 pieces of bunny-shaped Reese peanut butter cup, you may ask yourself the question, why did I do that? So all of us, no matter what our constitution is that we have in place, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. There is the potential for us getting in a situation that we would ask ourselves, why did we do that? So when we find ourselves in that place, it's not a time to throw in the towel, but it is a time to say, look, you know, I got a constitution that I'm being held responsible to. This is what really means. This is what really matters. And this is who I'm answering to. I'm answering to God, not that bag of chocolate that somebody gave me. I'm not, you know, there's lots of opportunities to do things that are not in accordance to the Constitution. In our United States, there's a lot of illegal things. And if you can't think of one, the devil will help you invent one. And it's the same way spiritually. There's a lot of things that there's an opportunity for us to do things that are outside the limitations of our spiritual constitution.
Yeah.
And if there's not something that just is a real temptation at the moment, the devil will come up with one. You know, just let the wind change a little bit, and here something else will come. The second verse says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. As a congregation, as a body of Christ at large, I believe it's important for us to help reinforce one another's constitution. And I believe that there is a constitution that is the more or less the same. There's a consistency amongst God's people. The individual constitutions is consistent with the overall constitution, if you understand what I'm trying to say there. He goes on to say, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, that they shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." How do we prove our work? How do we prove our constitution? And that's when we come together in service time, in camp meeting time, in revival time, and someone else that the Lord has laid the burden on begins to speak to us, and we recognize that their constitution, the things that the Lord has given them, is resonating with my constitution. Mm-hmm. And I recognize this is something that the Lord is giving to us universally. He says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone." How many of us have maybe been reading the scripture, maybe the Lord has spoke to us and give us sense of urgency or conviction about something in our life, and when somebody else shares some of the same feelings, we have this witness from the Holy Spirit that this is what we've been talking about. And we go home feeling encouraged that the Lord's speaking to me just like he's speaking to someone else. I believe this is how our work is proved, okay? And our constitution is proved. "For every man shall bear his own burden." That's verse 5. Verse 6 says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." 7th verse says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." If we engage in something that's not in alignment with the Constitution, we know that there's consequences to reap from that. Mm-hmm. If we engage in things that is in alignment with our Constitution, there's benefits and blessings, and there is something to reap from that as well. It says in verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." The 9th verse is the one I really wanted to get to. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." If we
thank the Lord,
become weary in living by our constitution, what we know the Lord has convinced us of and convicted us of and gave us understanding of, if we will do that, then there's going to be a reaping. There's going to be a blessing and fulfillment from that. And the scripture says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." Now, I'm thinking back of the verse of the portion of the song that we started with, "Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to thee." When around us are those that might not be living by the Constitution we believe that God ought to, that God has for us individually, it's easy for us as humans to get distracted. It's easy for us to feel overwhelmed. But I want us to regard not what we see, but may our faith in our constitution,
yes, Lord, help us,
ascend to God. May it be something that's connected to Him. And in verse 9 where it says, let us not be, this is verse 9 of chapter 6 in Galatians. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want us to realize that if we will not be weary in following the constitution that God has given us, I believe that we will reap. There will be a day of blessing. There will be a day of reward for being faithful to the constitution. I'm not, I probably wouldn't be a very good rebel leader because I really like the idea of our constitution in our United States. And yes, I really like the idea of having a personal constitution, one that I do check on. You know, it's one thing to write yourself a note. It's another thing to actually follow, you know, look back at it and make sure you're doing what you made your note for. I've made a lot of notes in my life thinking that I would use that when I went to town and then leave it on the table before I left. And it don't do us much good, you know, and we can get a conviction and or a constitution from the Lord. And then if we leave it on the table, it really doesn't help us.
That's true.
So I just want to challenge us to not be weary in well-doing and not desecrate or abandon our spiritual constitution with the Lord. That personal, you know, there's going to be a little bit of variations. But there's going to be a universal constitution the Lord is going to give all of us to live with integrity with Him. And may the Lord help us to live by that. When things seem to be falling apart all around us, it doesn't make the constitution any different. I don't want it to become a political thing here this morning at all. I just want us to get a hold of the thought that we have to have a constitution to be successful as a Christian. We cannot just follow the tide and go in and out. Rejoice when everybody's rejoicing and then be confused and disoriented when people are second-guessing the Scripture or whatever it might be. Lord, help us, each one, to have a real constitution and to live carefully and to live by our constitution.